We continue our study in the Ten Commandments. So reading from Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. Let us hear God's word. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and Heavenly Father, how good you are. Your mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Even today you have fed us with the bread of the earth. But now, Heavenly Father, we ask that you would feed us with the bread of heaven, that you would feed us with your word, that you would glorify your Son, Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Last week, if you weren't here, we saw that the character of Andy Taylor, the sheriff in the fictional city of Mayberry, he had a little problem. And his problem was with the ninth commandment, the commandment that deals with the sanctity and the importance of truth. Anytime we do not tell the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, we break the command of thou shalt not bear false testimony against thy neighbor. This was Sheriff Taylor's pet sin. Anytime you watch that program, you look out for it, because he is going to say something that is not quite truthful. He's going to exaggerate something or make up something to get him and Barney out of trouble. But in one episode, the Mayberry gang gives a whole new twist to the breaking of the ninth commandment. Andy, Barney, and sweet Aunt B, they transgress the ninth commandment, but this time it's not because they're telling a lie or they're fabricating something. They transgress the ninth commandment. Get this. Because they told the truth. They break the ninth commandment because they spoke the truth. It's not because of a falsehood, but because of truth. But truth that is best left unsaid, truth that is best not talked about, truth that is not helpful for the building up of God's people. You see, they were speaking the truth, but they were also what we call gossiping. In this episode, Opie and his friends want to start a new newspaper. But they have a difficult time because they can't get anybody to buy it. So what do? They start to publish what other people have overheard, things that they have overheard Andy, Barney, and Aunt B talking about. They report that Barney Five says there's a lady in town who is a blonde from a bottle. They report that B. Taylor says that Clara Edwards' chicken a la King tastes like paste. And my favorite, Opie and his friend report that that Sheriff Taylor has said that the preacher's sermons are as dry as dust. Now, everything that they said was true. Except about the preacher, you know, his sermons or not. Everything they said is true. But everything that they said, though it be true, was not edifying to them. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, even if it is true. So while it may be true that the preacher's sermons are as dry as dust, it doesn't do me any good when you say it to me. It may be true that Claire Edwards' chicken a la king tastes like paste, but it doesn't do her any good for you to spread that around town. It may be true that someone is a blonde from a bottle, but what good is that to help people grow in Christ? The Apostle Peter says, whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitfulness. And James says, if anyone considers himself religious, he should keep a tight rein on his tongue. See, there are people that watch you very carefully, and they examine you to see what you say and what you do. I remember one time we came to the boys were in the back seat, and they were a lot younger at the time, and we came to a four-way stop. Well, this lady to my right, she had the right-of-way, but she just sat there and sat there and sat there, didn't move. And finally, Isaiah, I don't know, maybe six at the time, said, yelled out, let's go, lady. There was a moment of silence. And Graham, my oldest son, said, I wonder where he got that from. Well, I knew where he got it from. People watch us very closely. Like a bird dog pointing out a bird, some people keep their eyes on other people. But notice that the bird dog doesn't point out the bird in order that people may admire the bird. The dog points out the bird that the bird would be shot and killed. When you point out the sins and faults of others, though what you may be saying is true, yet it transgresses the ninth commandment, because what you are saying is not edifying to the church. If what we speak is negative about people, then it is better to not say it at all. I remember my mom used to tell me, if you can't say anything nice about somebody, don't say it at all. It's a very good lesson for all of us who are Christians. Thus, the ninth commandment forbids us speaking falsehood, but it commands us to speak the truth. So when do we speak the truth? When do we speak the truth? We speak the truth in order to edify the church or our family or our community. If the child is rebellious, the parent corrects the child. The parent disciplines the child, sits down and talks with the child. The parent is speaking truth, but it is truth that edifies the child. So when we speak truth to one another, and we have to confront one another. That's not always easy, and it's very difficult. But when we have to, we do so in love, speaking the truth. We do so in love, speaking the truth. If the preacher's sermons are as dry as dust, yet what the preacher says is truthful, then there's no reason to speak against the preacher. If at a covered dish dinner, if your chicken a la king tastes like paste, there's no need for us to say that out loud. You put a little bit on your plate, you know, and if you don't want it, then you can get rid of it. But there's no reason to say, that tastes like paste, y'all. And yet we do that all the time. We break that commandment all the time because we love to gossip. And when we gossip, it makes us feel good about our own self because we're pointing out the faults and the sins of someone else. You've been confronted. Nobody in here, nobody in the history of the world has become a Christian without Christ confronting you with the truth. It might have been through the preacher. It might have been through your mom or your dad or somebody in your family or somebody you went to school with. But you have become a Christian because you have been confronted with the truth. And we're thankful for that. Well, there are times that we have to confront one another with the truth. It's not always easy, and it's always painful. But why do we do so? Same reason the parent confronts the child, because we do so in love. We love that brother. We love that sister. We love peace and harmony in the church. So at times, we have to confront. We are not left with no way to deal with the power of the tongue. The scriptures say that we are to put a tight rein on our tongue. And how do we do that? By thinking on that which is good. That which is beautiful. That which is good about an individual. If the preacher's sermons are as dry as dust, think about something else that makes you admire the preacher. If Clara Edwards' chicken a la king tastes like paste, what about the cookies she brought? They're really good. Let's talk about those. Focus on the things that are positive. This is how we control the tongue. We don't let the tongue control us. We let the Holy Spirit within us control the tongue. And when we do so, we demonstrate love to one another. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies unto us because we love to gossip. We love, heavenly Father, to point out the weaknesses and sins of others. But Heavenly Father, you have pointed out our sins, and you have done so in love, and you have done it with the purpose of bringing us into your kingdom. Oh, Father God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would guide and direct our tongue, that we would speak truth, and that we would speak love to those in our family and in our church. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close our worship as we stand and sing 308. 308, Jesus paid it all.